Good evening and welcome to WMMT's Mountain Talk. The following program is a rebroadcast of a show that originally aired live on WMMT on May 19th, one day after the inaugural Appalachian Food Summit at the Hindman Settlement School in Hindman, Kentucky. The show is hosted by WMMT's Mimi Pickering with guests Joyce Penson, a food writer and farmer from Pike County, and Valerie Horn, from Grow Appalachia and the Apple Tree Project in Letcher County. Stay tuned.
Honey, who's yes, ma'am. In the studio with us, and Valerie Horn, who's done everything but be a noted author, I think.
Hello.
But Val, who's here from Grow Appalachia and the Apple Tree Project, and we're going to report on the inaugural gathering of the Appalachian Food Summit, which happened yesterday at the Hindman Settlement School, a gathering of lots of folks talking about food and growing food and the culture of the mountains, and then folks who sat down and had a really amazing dinner of mountain food. And so we don't have Ronnie at the moment. So my understanding, Joyce, were you part of involved with?
I was. The Appalachian Food Summit started out as a conversation among Southern food writers, and there's a subset of hillbillies. And Kendra Morris, who is an author from West Virginia, she posted something about cornbread, and it kind of sparked something, you know, do you make it with flour? Do you make it with sugar? And, I mean, we got into this huge debate, and before long we said, we really need to sit down and talk about this face-to-face. And part of the problems that Appalachia faces is that we're so broad and vast, mm-hmm. and we have all these boundaries. We have county boundaries. We have state boundaries. And the internet kind of spans that. And so we formed this internet group just kind of spontaneously, and soon enough we said, all right, we're all going to get together, and we're going to talk about sustainable agriculture in Appalachia. We're going to talk about the future of agriculture tourism and culinary tourism. We're going to celebrate what makes Hillbilly special. And it just seemed like it all fell together. The Kentucky Proud, the Department of Agriculture, has just launched the Appalachian Proud brand. And that, again, blurred the lines. Right now, Appalachia is just starting to come into its own for the food scene, and it's really exciting, not only for farmers, but for people that enjoy eating, and for us that cook. And whether we're a home cook or a professional chef, we have a lot to be proud of with our mountain culture.
Uh-huh.
But it came together through Facebook and a lot of hard work. Laura Smith, Ronnie Lundy, Kendra Morris, Sherry Castle from North Carolina. We had people from all over, and a really good day.
Well, that's amazing. And I guess the Southern Foodways Alliance has been around for a while and has been growing, but it's been more, as I understand it, a little bit more deep south. And so this is
Southern Foodways Alliance is based in Oxford, Mississippi. Uh-huh. It's part of Ole Miss, you know, mm-hmm. it is part of those. And they do focus on the deep south. They focus on, you know, one of the things that I said as I came to be a writer for Appalachia food is that I never quite fit. I mean, Southern food was good, and I'm all about y'all. And
right.
But, you know, I don't like just plain collards. I grew up with mixed greens. I want kale, and I want mustard, and I want collards all mixed together. And I always felt a little displaced until I found a book written by Edna Lewis. And Edna Lewis is from Virginia, and she writes about the Upper South and the Upper South in Appalachia and how we are Southern in some ways, but not so much in others.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's finding our place, and, you know, Eudora Welty from Mississippi used a term called a sense of place.
Uh-huh.
And I think food and growing food and producing food for others really gives you a sense of place, and you can actually taste the place. I mean, you know that when you have a I'm from Johns Creek in Pike County, and when I have a Bevan's tomato, that is a tomato that has been in my community forever, and that is a taste of home. I mean, that's home. And that's kind of what this was about. The whole Appalachian Food Conference was about trying to find home and redefine. We know where we've been, but we know that if we don't tell our story, somebody else is going to tell it for us.
Uh-huh.
And telling story through food is something that brings everybody to the table.
Yeah,
so
sure.
it's exciting.
Yeah. And you write for the Appalachian News Express.
I write for the Appalachian News Express and the Mingo Messenger in West Virginia. I also do some freelance writing. I've been in the Bourbon Review and Hobby Farms and several others. I'm working on a cookbook, a documentary on seed saving. I'm a farmer.
Uh-huh.
I got chickens. I've got my hands in a lot of pies.
That's great. That's great. And Val, it does seem like the whole idea of local foods is taking off, and for a variety of reasons. There are groups that are stressing that right now. So tell us a little bit about what you're up to. And you have many hats that you're wearing, but they do tie together.
Thank you. And I do agree that there does seem to be more attention and emphasis now on food and food issues, gardening, than I've seen in my lifetime. I actually asked someone recently, had they seen another event or notion that had taken as much, had gotten as much attention as this had? And we really couldn't think of anything. Thought perhaps exercise, but that was sort of exclusive to different groups. Not everyone was in on that, but with the gardening and food nutrition issues, it seems to reach different income levels, different ages, different generations, and they can actually even work on it together, be involved with it together. And I'm just happy, very happy to be a part of it. Some of the reasons I think that this is happening here in our community are a couple of reasons. There's definitely the nutrition and an interest and emphasis in better health. We're more educated and more aware now of the dangers that are just so readily available for us. So when we can incorporate better choices into our diets, we definitely want to do that. And I believe all are interested in that. Also believe there's an interest for income.
Mm-hmm.
Many in the community are looking at it as perhaps right now, supplemental income,
right.
Additional income to make a difference. To, you know, sometimes a few hundred dollars a month can make a difference in leaving your home and community or getting to stay,
right.
And fight a little longer. So it is a very, very hot and popular topic. It comes up in most conversations, come around to that without even my leading it there. It comes to gardening.
Yeah. Another thing that folks were talking about yesterday was the whole aspect of tourism and this notion of cultural tourism and, and people wanting to come to places where they're feeling they're getting a sense of the heritage of the place.
The Appalachian Regional Commission is putting together a map through several states that are encompassed within the Appalachian region. And it's kind of a big secret who's going to be there. You know, I nominated the Blue Raven in Pikeville. I hope they make the cut. But it's an exciting time. And, I mean, you think about, when you think about tourism, you think about, I plan my vacations around, you know, what restaurant do I want to go to or what chef do I want to meet? And here, we've got a lot of mom-and-pop places that are undiscovered.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, here in Whitesburg, Summit City, you know, they're
right.
Legendary. In Prestonsburg, Lizzie B's. There's lots of cool places right here in Appalachia that sometimes we just take for granted. And it takes, dare I say it, a Flatlander to come in and tell us how special that we are. But there's a lot of food seen here, and the potential to develop that and for tourism, and to bring more economic development into this community, which spells jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs. Uh-huh. I think that is so important. And again, you know, it's not just the tourism from a culinary standpoint of eating, but agritourism. I mean, things like pumpkin patches and corn mazes and, let's, you know, sorghum festivals.
Right.
You know, that's down home stuff that we understand, and we could do this.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just a matter of remembering what we've forgot.
Right.
So it is, again, I keep saying it, but I mean, I think it's an exciting time to be in Appalachia, and the transitions and everything that's coming together, and on the national scene when you're looking at someone like Sean Brock, who is a native of Wise County, Virginia, just over the mountain. He is a noted chef in Charleston, South Carolina, won many James Beard Awards, and when he's coming out with a book that's going to talk about coal, living in the coal country of Virginia and how they cook, and it's already expected to be a number one bestseller, you know Appalachia is hot and coming on the map.
That's right. And yesterday's chef was Travis Milton, who is a native of Castlewood, Virginia, right over the hill as well.
He is. His restaurant is called Comfort. They're from Richmond. Richmond.
He's in the big city.
He's in the big city, but you know, we did a lot of the dinner was locally sourced. A lot of it, some of it came from Kentucky Proud Producers. And we wanted to do a little bit of the regional. So we lifted, you know, little pieces here. He went back to Abington, which is his home, and sourced some of the food. And again, it's kind of blurring those lines. I think one of the most interesting things that Travis said to me during the dinner, or he said to the group actually, was he was asked what it was like to be in Kentucky rather than Virginia. And he said, it's looking at the mountains from the other side.
That's right.
You know, I thought that was very touching. He's a very humble chef, but also very talented. And the meal was very humble.
Yeah.
The meal was great. I was thinking about a restaurant in Savannah, Mrs. Wilkes' Boarding House. And we've stood in line for over 2 hours to get into that table. And I know that our meal yesterday was excellent.
Amen.
We would stand in line for.
Yeah, I have the menu here, and the thing that was amazing to me is it was very much food we would, you know, we'd eat every day, but you know, the way he cooked it, the additions, which also were from the area, you know, there was nothing exotic in there at all, but I pride myself on my greens, but his greens just took the cake.
We also had the potluck yesterday, which was very exciting. I called my group the 606 for our area code here, but the Kentucky people that stepped up, and I believe you brought a most wonderful rhubarb pie.
I
do love rhubarb pie. And Valor,
and it did come out. The rhubarb was picked out of my yard.
It was beautiful, and I can't grow rhubarb. This is my third year to put rhubarb out, so hats off to you for that. And Valerie made some fine pepper jelly, and we had all kinds of pies and savory foods and the assortment, and a lot of pickles in mason jars, which I think is very indicative of home in the mountains. I mean, because we preserve our food so much. I mean, that's part of our culture. And you're seeing that resurgence of canning as well. And,
uh-huh.
and so I think that's, again,
well, that's good.
You know, it's good. I know Valerie has been working doing microprocessing, which would allow people to can and sell their goods.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some economic little money coming in, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you grow just for your family, one, you're saving money, and two, you're getting a better product.
Right.
You
right.
know,
and it's,
a win-win.
Yeah, that's so true. And you're involved with Grow Appalachia, which is encouraging families all over the region, really. And in particular, we have one in Letcher County. There's one in Knott County starting. I think there's, and the Community Farm Alliance is part of that. Berea College is Appalachian Fund.
Yes. Grow Appalachia began about 7 years ago, and Cowan Community Center has been involved with it for 3 years. And I think that did begin drawing more attention and more conversations. I think people were going more quietly about their gardens, but are beginning to see the value and lots of validation and interest in that. And that program very much took off a year or so ago. We began working with our Letcher County Farmers Market. And these are new ventures for us, mm-hmm. and especially if you want to go about them the right way and build sustainability into that. And that's when Community Farm Alliance came into the community and extended a hand to guide us through those processes, support what we wanted. I work with Community Farm Alliance, but actually myself and our community is much more a benefactor of them. I'm learning things from them daily. At that time, Alexa Arnold, who will have a reputation with Community Farm, a wonderful reputation with Community Farm Alliance for many years, but she attended many of our farmers markets meetings. And CFA has a way of not in coming in with all the answers, but just being there and letting the community make their own plans and decisions, but guiding you in the direction. So we became a Kentucky Proud member. Community Farm Alliance now does a tremendous amount to support the farmers market, not only in Letcher County, but 8 other markets in the region. Mm.
Plus, they have the subcommittee where we have the East Kentucky Food Collaborative,
which has been going
on
for a couple years.
Which focuses on, you know, our part of the state.
Oh, that's great.
So
exactly.
It's really exciting.
Exactly.
It's where, for me, that was where the lines started to blur, because we didn't understand. I live in Pike County, and Todd Howard lives in Floyd County, and that's only 25 miles. But I didn't know what he was doing, and he didn't know what I was doing. And the ability to network through Community Farm Alliance and through the Eastern Kentucky Food Collaborative, Valerie, it's a really a blessing. It's been and an eye-opener because, I mean, I've lived here 30 years. And to not know, you know, sometimes you think you're singing the song all by yourself. And we're not alone.
Exactly.
We're not alone.
Exactly.
Right. As you say, there's 8 markets in the region right now.
Yes, and there are many more. Most counties, I believe, all but 18 of the counties in Kentucky
wow.
have at least one farmers market. But there's Community Farm Alliance is working specifically with about 8 markets that were in the farmers market support program.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a couple days of training and. Interaction with other markets that was just as valuable on best practices. We got to meet market managers in Lexington. Bowling Green has a phenomenal market, and you cannot have a conversation with these people without walking away without learning something and saying, I want to try that in my community. And in addition to the education and support, they've also provided funding, and our Whitesburg City Hall is going to match that funding.
Oh, great.
So we were able to hire market managers.
Uh-huh.
So the market this year will have 2 co-managers dedicated to that. A shout out for Abby Maggard, who volunteered most every Saturday last year at the farmers market. Her family are producers and growers, so they'll be here, and Hillary Neff. They're also supporting the farmers market through the Double Dollar program. Letcher County's just become eligible to receive WIC vouchers.
Huh.
So if you receive WIC vouchers, you'll be able to get $20 of vouchers to redeem at the farmers market, and CFA has procured funding to match that. So that would be $40 of fresh produce that we'll be able to buy at the market, which supports the growers, and then the better food and nutrition go into women and children.
Right, right. And you also can take the EBS, is that right? Or the whatever it's called?
We have applied for this to be able to accept SNAP benefits.
Uh-huh.
That has not Still. Come through yet. But we hope by the end, at some point during mm-hmm. the market season, we will be able to do that. Community Farm Alliance is about more than just farming, but food, nutrition, and you sort of see it's sort of a cycle, like in the garden. You'd be good to the dirt and the plants grow better, and it just is a circle that one good action leads to good results in other places.
And Joyce, what do you see in Pike County? Are there a lot of farmers there? Is it growing in terms of more people growing for themselves and others?
Myself and Neil Hunt have been championing a seed swap in Pikeville. The first year we anticipated 50. We had 100. This year we anticipated about 125. We stopped counting at 210. So, yes, there is a huge backlash. I don't know whether it's driven, part of it is driven by economic need, but a lot of it is driven by a sense that we have to take back what is ours and saving those seeds. In Pike County, we had the flood several years back. We nearly lost what we call the Harless Creek White Kushaw. Mm. And a White Kushaw in itself is a rare thing. And to lose one that was Pike County, I mean, it just, I literally was tore up about it, and that's how the seed swap came about. So, yes, I think people are more interested in gardening for their family. Yes, I think that we're seeing, you know, the extension office is being bombarded with questions. How do I grow for the farmer's market? How can I become a microprocessor? What is it going to take to move me forward? And I think that some of the powers that be originally, you know, they wanted to do things like they do in Western Kentucky. And we're not row croppers.
Right.
We are small farmers, and we are capable of producing niche crops, but we just have to think about it a little bit different. And I think what Valerie said earlier about this being agriculture leading in and being a supplemental income is where it's going to start. But I believe that if we can get Future Farmers of America back in the schools, if we can start getting our young people to understand there is money to be made in farming, that the sky's the limit for us. And I really think that's our future. And I get very annoyed when people tell me there is no flat land in Appalachia. Well, you can farm on the side of the hill, and you can farm in the flatland and up the hollers, and you know, you can farm in a hanging garden, and you can farm in a low tunnel. I mean, there's a way, and we're very engineered. You know, we are a very resourceful and creative people, and we can find that way.
And certainly those earliest settlers figured out a way to survive on their own.
Absolutely.
What they grew and hunted.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's no point in, you know, going to the grocery store when you can put it in your backyard for pennies on the dollar. And I mean, literally pennies on the dollar.
I've been discouraged for many years of going to the grocery store and buying something like greens and having the young checkout staff, you know, ask me, well, what's that?
What is
you
it?
Know, didn't your mama cook those for you? So I think it sounds like you're making it more interesting for young people that they will pick up on it and get to start eating these kinds of foods as well.
In our Grow Appalachia program, we have several young children that are interested in it and hoping to have a kid's garden in the community garden. Two of the growers last year were teenagers at the farmer's market and will be again this year, teenagers that are making plans to do that.
That's great. Well, we're gonna give Laura Smith a call here, who was one of the organizers. I think we've lost Ronnie Lundy as she headed down to Knoxville, so we haven't brought her back yet. And one of the things about Grow Appalachia that you do that I think is so great is that sometimes there's just a little thing that seems to keep people from raising a garden, like they don't have a tiller, and you know, you can't just go and invest in a tiller. That's a lot of money. So the fact that you all can come and till somebody's garden or do other things, to these little things that makes it possible, I think is wonderful.
And also being able to check with the, I don't know how it is in all the counties, but I know in Pike County we have tillers, we have planters, we have lots of different equipment available that you can borrow from our county extension office. So, that, you don't have to make that investment right away.
Uh-huh. That's great. Well, I think we have Laura Smith on the phone here. Laura, who's going to start a farm in Egypt before too long. Is that right, Laura?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Mimi, how are you doing?
And that's in Jackson County, if I'm right.
Correct.
Great. Well, Joyce and Valerie are here, and Joyce gave us a great rundown of how this this first summit got going with a bunch of folks on Facebook and sort of through the Southern Foodways Alliance being a stepping off point from that. Give us a little bit of the, you want to add a little to that history of what, how this all came about?
Well, you know, that's really it. I mean, it very much started organically with a group on Facebook, and it just grew from there. There was just a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and folks who wanted to volunteer and pitch in and make it happen.
Well, that's great. I've got the menu here, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm wondering if you were involved or could tell us a little bit, how did the menu evolve?
Well, that was all Travis Milton, the chef, excellent chef that we had, and I don't know if y'all have talked about him yet. But Travis is great. He cooks right now up at Comfort in a restaurant in Richmond, Virginia, mm-hmm. but he's originally from Castlewood.
Right.
And he imagined that whole menu, and he wanted it to be just, kind of honest food, but done really, really well. And I think he achieved that. It was amazing.
I think he did, definitely. There's really nothing that you couldn't fix at home, I don't think. Maybe a few of the hams were a little bit, we might not be able to buy those in our local store.
Well, some of the ham came from Benton's in Tennessee, and he's legendary. And then mm-hmm. some of it came from Jay Denham down at the Cure House in Louisville. And that is the ham, the pork actually came from West Virginia. And so it will be available.
Great, yeah. And I understand that some of that West Virginia pork, the way they're raising it, is the real old-fashioned way.
They have a separate brand called Woodlands. Nicholas Hackett, Justin Dean, Bob Perry, a chef from the University of Kentucky. And Woodlands pork is done on mast, and they're doing some of the heritage breeds to do it, heritage breed pork, and they're raising it on mast being acorns and things that are in the forest. And when you have a bite of Woodlands bacon and you put just a small piece in your mouth, that's all you need is that one small piece. It just melts, and it's so rich, and it tastes of West Virginia mountains.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing.
And Laura, I know you don't have much time, but it seemed like it was a great success yesterday, and I just wonder what's your hopes for the future?
Well, I hope we can do it again real soon. I think it was, everybody I saw went away happy. And, we were lucky that we had some food left over. And I know people were taking takeaway boxes home. And I think everybody left very full and very happy. So I'm hoping that this is the first of many more good things to come.
Well, great. Well, it was delicious for sure. And one of the things, the way that the day started is, I think we mentioned, was that there was a pie fest to begin with, and people that wanted to brought it something sweet or something savory, and so there was a huge table of food, of delicious food, all of it made by folks attending the gathering. And then there was some really, really great speakers that talked to everybody, including the legendary Bill Best, who was just wonderful, talking about his bean saving in particular. And I understand, Val, that he's been working with Grow Appalachia some.
We were fortunate to have him visit and do a presentation with our Grow Appalachia participants. And actually, we purchased some of the seeds. We've got about 100 packages of different bean seeds. And the contract or the intent that participants had to make in order to receive the bean seeds was that they share them. They had to share them at the end of the season and pass those along to other people. And we've had good results with that.
So you can't eat all your beans, right?
You need to save a row.
All right, Laura, any final thoughts? We'll let you go.
No, thank you to everyone who came out yesterday and everybody who participated and brought food and just made it a great event.
So when you and Joe get back to Egypt, what are you going to start out growing there?
Well, my husband really wants to focus on some fruit production. We're lucky at the farm. There is already a lot of wild blackberries established, and we have a whole field of elderflower and elderberries. But he wants to do cultivated blackberries, blueberries, and strawberries, and then we'll do small-scale vegetable production as well.
Well, that sounds great. Well, we can't wait to get you back in Kentucky.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Mimi. Thanks, WMMT.
Bye. Sylvia, do you want to play maybe a little clip of Mr. Benton? We have a recording that Sarah Wood, I believe, did as part of the Southern Folkways Alliance and their oral history project. And
Foodways.
And so maybe we should listen to that as we think about that ham that is going to melt in our mouth, that and the other ones. And they're from Madisonville, Tennessee.
Well, of course, I'm Alan Benton. I've been in the country ham business since 1973. Before that, my family did it as a way of life, and I can't remember when I wasn't involved in hog killing and helping to put the hams in bacon and cure. We did it religiously every year until about the time I got out of high school. I was born over in Scott County, Virginia, just about 3 hours from where we're sitting here in Madisonville. The recipe that I use is basically unchanged from the log smokehouse behind the house I was born in. Thanksgiving Day was traditionally hog killing day, and I never recall killing hogs that some of the neighbors around didn't come to help. It was primitive. We didn't even have a vat to dip the pigs in. They would shoot the hogs in the hog lot, roll them onto a sled, take a horse or a mule, pull the sled over to a spring branch where we had water heated, and we would lay burlap sacks on those hogs, pour that hot water through it to soften the hair so we could scrape it, and we'd scrape one little section, move that burlap bag over, pour hot water through it again and soften the hair and scrape that section. Very labor intense, just the depths of Southern Appalachian poverty, quite honestly. But there was tremendous pride in the quality of that pork, and I remember, this must have been early 60s, 61 or 62, my grandmother had sold one of the hams to a fellow the year before for 50 cents a pound, which she thought was an incredible price. And he came back and wanted to pay her a dollar a pound. And she said, no, no, no. She said, they're 50 cents a pound. He said, but I want to pay a dollar a pound, because he said that quality ham is worth it. And he insisted, and she really felt badly. She didn't want to take it. She was almost embarrassed, like she'd done something wrong. And she just kept talking about that he paid a dollar a pound for these hams. And she just thought that was such a phenomenal price at that time. The quality of the pork was renowned, and it was almost bragging rights in those mountains as to who made the best pork. I couldn't be prouder of my family. When I got into this business, I have to confess, I got into it thinking I would just mark time until I could get admitted to law school. But after 5 or 6 months, I found that I was really enjoying what I was doing, and I wasn't making any money. I can tell you that any school teacher in the county made more money than I did probably the first 10 years I was in business. I mean, it was a real struggle, and I was working long, hard hours, but I really enjoyed it, and now I'm retirement age, I guess, but I enjoy what I do and have no desire to go sit down. I hope that I'm making ham and bacon when I'm 85 if I'm still alive. I just don't want to go retire. I think I would be miserable. I enjoy my customers, and I really enjoy my employees, and I enjoy making ham and bacon. And I figure I must be one of the lucky people in the country. I had a friend once, and he told me, he said, Benton, he said, you need to shut that front sales area down, forget it, and just ship product to restaurants across the country. He said, you'll make more clear money. And I looked at him and smiled, and I said, but I don't want to do that. I enjoy this eclectic slice of humanity that walks through my front door. I get the old farmers and their overalls and their work boots, and I get the professionals in their three-piece suits. And it's this wonderful slice of humanity. I've had people walk in and they'll say, don't ever change anything. This is the only place that I go in that nothing ever changes. And that's pretty much the story. I've got professional friends and blue-collar friends that hate every day that they go to work. I don't feel like that. I can't wait to get up and come out here and make it all happen again another day. So I feel like I'm very fortunate.
All right. So that was Mr. Benton from Benton's Hams and in Alan Benton in Benton's Smoky Mountain Country Hams and in Madisonville, Tennessee. And we're talking with Joyce Pinson and Valerie Horn here on WMMT. And we're talking about the Appalachian Food Summit and then where we go from there. And it's interesting because the last week on the radio, I read a little piece from the Gravy publication about Mrs. Benton, who's had a hand in, I think she was out working, doing public works, as they say, to help the business when it was just getting started, because they weren't as phenomenally successful as they are now. But we were just talking during the break about the woman farmer. Joyce, and you went to agricultural school. What was that like?
That was back in the Ice Age. And you know, I was one of the few females at the University of Kentucky Agriculture School. But it was challenging. And, of course, at that time, big agriculture was what they were teaching. And, you know, my idea of sustainable agriculture was definitely not in line with what the dean was thinking, but I've hung in with it, and it looks like my time is now. So I've got 200 tomato plants under roof right now, and I've got in my attic, I've got chickens under the brooder. So you know, it's small, but it is a way of starting, and certainly a supplemental. And it's also my reason for doing it is not just to feed my family, but I live on our garden is situated on a road where a lot of the community goes by. It's a cemetery road, but the community goes by, and they stop and say, well, what is that? And I say, well, this is okra, you know, and they've never seen okra growing. Or Kathy Raymeyer has inspired me to do winter gardening. And so, you know, it's snowing, and I'm out hoeing, and I've got all these greens and things that they've never seen before, but they stop and they look, and they go and they do it themselves.
That's great.
And what kind of, you know, you can't get a paycheck that would pay you what that's worth.
Right, right.
You know, so it's just exciting. Mm. You know, I probably overuse that word, but I'm excited. I think it's just a great Appalachia and agriculture and the food culture. It's just phenomenal and overwhelming, and I think that we take it for granted here in the mountains, and when they're celebrating it in New York City,
right,
we need to wake up and capitalize on what we have.
Right. And we were also saying we just really wanted to send a shout out to the Kentucky Proud and their new Appalachia Proud, and this is all a part of the Kentucky Department of Agriculture. And as you were saying, that department has not always looked to Eastern Kentucky to be part of Kentucky's agricultural scene.
Commissioner Comer has done a great job of traveling throughout the state, and he listened. And I'm not a political person, but he sat down and he listened and he took notes, and he implemented something that we can leverage as a brand you know, as community, not just Pike County, not just Floyd County, not just Letcher County, but the whole Appalachian community, we can leverage that brand. And because when it says Appalachian Proud, New York City wants Appalachian Proud. And so it has given us as a whole a voice and a platform, and coming together and again blurring the boundaries, it really can be a catalyst for great things. But we can't let Frankfurt define it for us. We have to define mm-hmm. what it is, and we have to tell our story.
That's great. Yeah. And so they helped in a great way in sponsoring the meal yesterday, as did the Community Farm Alliance in accelerating Appalachia. And I think Grow Appalachia and lots of volunteers. And I'm just going to quickly read the menu, and then we're going to go on to talk about what comes next. So yesterday, Chef Travis Milton prepared an Appalachia Proud Supper with beaten sweet potato biscuits with country ham, pepper jelly, and honey butter. And we're
Valerie's
not,
pepper jelly
that,
was
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
And it'll be for sale at the farmer's market.
It really was excellent. Sour corn, which had everyone just smacking their lips. And some of us would call that pickled corn, I think. And you can sometimes see that in mason jars here and there. Potatoes with foraged ramps and bacon, which was excellent. Then there was warm mixed pickles,
which I'd never had before. I mean, when we talk about mixed pickles, some people call them chow chow, but never had them warm. I've always had them cold and crispy,
yeah.
So that was kind of fun for me.
And they weren't chopped up like a chow chow.
No, they were very coarse,
yeah.
Really coarsely cut.
Carrots and celery, I think, other things. It was good. And then soup beans, excellent soup beans. Braised greens with ham hocks, which were really delicious, I thought. Very subtle smoky flavor mm-hmm. there. A squash casserole that was also excellent. Then kilt lettuce salad with homemade vinegar. Wilted lettuce, some people might call it. And I think that was Todd Howard's greens
yes,
made up that salad, which were delicious. And then finished it off with fried catfish with tomato gravy. Also excellent. And so the suppliers included...
Oh, you forgot the dessert.
I know. You forgot
the dessert.
That's right.
We had hand pies, green tomato hand pies, and stacked apple cake. Now, I didn't have the cake, but I did have the hand pies, and they were
delicious.
Green tomato hand pies. Who'd have thought? But
they tasted like apple.
Had a real nutmeg, uh-huh. very spicy. Loved them.
Right. And so the farms and suppliers included Appalachian Sustainable Development in Abingdon, Benton's Bacon in Madisonville, Tennessee, Climax Spring Water, we all had some good water, West Virginia Dry Cured Ham from the Cure House in Louisville, Kentucky, we were talking about them, Heirloom Apples from Foggy Ridge Cider in Dougsburg, Virginia, produce from HF Farms in Hippo, Kentucky.
That's Todd Howard.
That's right. Holbrook Brothers Sorghum in West Liberty. And Mountain Honey from Tammy Horn, who's based in Richmond, Lexington, but the honey comes from Eastern Kentucky.
Yes, ma'am. Right on the coal fields.
That's
so
right.
She breeds her beads right on the coal fields.
Yeah, so that was the menu, and it was delicious. So, Val, tell us a little bit more about what... Community Farm Alliance is up to these days as we move on from this dinner to more dinners in the future.
Thank you. I became involved with Community Farm Alliance as the project director for a Community University of Kentucky research based project, and they're looking at food access, making it more available, and also besides just being available in promoting good choices and encouraging that. But speaking of access, I was just thinking as we're sitting here talking about this, you can look out the window and see the food pantry mm-hmm. that's just right up the street. And I was there today, and I heard our numbers were not this high today, but there were maybe 47 people one day last week, and it runs about 125 to 150 every week, and you can only come once a month. So, you know, there are about 600 residents, families
right.
in Letcher County that are having having food trouble.
Food insecurity.
Food insecurities. Thank you. So the Apple Tree Project is looking at gardening as one method for combating that, to make healthy food choices available. It doesn't really take a lot of fruits and vegetables to change your health. I've heard read some things that maybe 2.5 cups of fruit and vegetables a day could make, if we ate that, could make a huge difference in a person's health. So we're trying to look at ways to make that more available to all in the community.
The fresh fruits and vegetables are hard to keep at the food pantry too, aren't they?
They are.
The storage is an issue there.
That is definitely an issue. So that's the project that we're working with. This first year has been about just doing needs assessment and assets inventory. We're getting ready to move quickly into putting some programs in place that will be supported by the community and actually identified by the community, that they believe that will provide some positive action from people in their community, and access and beyond access, just choice for better food and nutrition. And these projects all sort of work together. Sometimes it's a little confusing for myself, and so I'm sure if you're trying to talk about it, it can be. But for instance, with the Apple Tree Project, we did a focus group with food pantry participants, and they expressed a strong desire to have a garden, but that's not always a possibility, as you mm-hmm. said before. There is an investment. When you're a smart farmer, you do see benefits in your grocery bill, but there's a lot of cheaper ways to eat than gardening. Mm-hmm. Not better, but just cheaper. So when we talk to them with the Apple Tree Project, the conversation doesn't just end there. It's not just a conversation. We can say, would you be interested in becoming a participant in Grow Appalachia? Can we help with that? Recently, Grow Appalachia and Cowan Community Center just received a community engagement grant from University of Kentucky to support the community garden. So we can buy some tools, cookbooks, we'll be offering 3 healthy eating classes this summer. So they're all intermingled, as just life is. Mm-hmm. It's few things are in a silo and can work to their best if they're working independently and not together. So we're doing that. Community Farm Alliance, through being involved with them, I have met wonderful people, wonderful resources. When we are talking to our farmers market, I don't know about others in our community, but until a few years ago, I hadn't even been to many farmers markets. Perhaps on a vacation, you might walk past one, but it wasn't even my destination. So I really wasn't even that familiar with it, and I don't think I'm totally unique for our community. But when I can tell people, there's a farmer, Will Bowling, at Home Place Farms. He and his wife are going to make a living on this. I've met Carla Bowman in Berea, who has an organic chicken, sells those. People put their name on a waiting list for $18 to pay $18 a chicken. And, you know, it's able to, I hope, create some excitement and some connections that make people believe and know that it is possible to do that here. In our community, we're used to giving our food away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the easy way you show people you care and take care of them and love them. And we just don't put enough value on it. I don't want to discourage those things. I think those are wonderful traits about us. But I want to also spread the word. Bring a basket. If you have a basket, bring it to the farmer's market. We'll sell it for you. put a price tag on it, and we will sit there throughout the day and sell that for you, and let's get as much there as we can.
Yeah, and that the Letcher County one will start in a couple of weeks and be on Saturday in downtown Whitesburg. And where is Pike County?
Pike County is located on the Riverville at the Pike County Extension Office. It's usually on Wednesdays and Fridays. We're throwing around, or not Wednesdays, and Wednesday mornings and Saturday mornings. We're throwing around the weeknight right now, but they're always there on Saturday mornings. We'll probably be open, I'm imagining, mid-June. I know in Floyd County they are already open, Williamson, West Virginia, is already open. Both of them are open on Saturday mornings.
And then there's Perry County, Hazard, but don't go and expect a ripe tomato grown here locally. You got to be patient a little while longer, unless somebody started them way ago in a greenhouse.
We are hopeful though that in June we might have some ripe tomatoes. One of the participants has a high tunnel. That's the only one that we have in Letcher County, as far as I know, and. Appreciate Connie Sturgill with the Conservation Office and NRCS.
Yes.
I have a little bit of dyslexia. for helping with that. And he has some pretty high tomatoes growing right now.
Oh, that's great.
So we're hopeful.
Radishes, greens, Swiss chard particularly is one of the big things at our market. Carrots. Those are the things that we see first. And then, of course, eggs and... We are lacking in Pike County with microprocessing like jams and jellies, but I'm hoping that's going to change soon. I don't know how it is in Letcher County.
Well, we had one processor last year, but this year we've had 11 go through the training.
Outstanding.
And Grow Appalachia helps with some funding for that, and Community Farm Alliance is sort of helping us with being connected to know the people to contact and to follow through with that. We're recognizing the need now for farms to have farm numbers. So we were realizing that we're a little bit behind, not on our skills as farmers, but
working through the red tape.
But in the process.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to take the lead and not only make that possible, but even make it fun as often as we can. And we work together to get through this. But Mimi, I do want to go back to a really good point you said about don't expect the right red tomatoes. And I appreciate what you were doing there, because that is true to our listeners. It isn't our market, and I believe it's probably fair of the regional markets, are not going to look like the Lexington Farmers Market, the Abingdon Farmers Market. Perhaps we'll have some things there that are unique and are special to us, but it is growing.
Right. Got to start somewhere.
It is small, and the people who came out last year, yourself included, on Saturdays and bought peppers when peppers was all that we had, and you know, you said, oh, a basket of peppers, just what I need.
Right.
So we appreciate the community support and do need that, and we need growers. So if anyone's listening, you know someone who's in a grower, connect them to whatever encourage them, whatever farmers market they can be involved with. And we're looking also at farmers markets as being the first step. We've already mentioned some farmers who worked a couple years at the markets, but now they're moving into selling to restaurants, schools, and are moving out
right.
of that. So,
and you know, and Dave Fisher has a store here now in Whitesburg and going to be selling some of his produce, and that's great. And one thing, just we're almost out of time, but we did want to mention the SOAR, that initiative by the governor and Congressman Rogers and all the food people, I guess, got together and said, we have to have a working group on agriculture, which wasn't in the original plan.
And I believe all is very much Joyce Pinson.
Sometimes I get a little worked up.
And you made a difference. Your voice made a difference. Actually, Daniel Wilson, who is the leader of the working group, agriculture was linked with tourism, and I take that as a good sign that they mm-hmm. listened during that opening session in December and restructured to a degree to create just a separate group agriculture.
And they're going to be, so there will be meetings in the counties?
There are 10 members right now on the working committee who are very much wanting to hear the voice from anyone who has a concern, an idea, a suggestion about that. The meetings will happen in June and July. On the East Kentucky SOAR Facebook page, there are about 7 or 8 meetings that have already been scheduled, Letcher County being one of those, and the dates for that. But the names and numbers of people to contact about that are there.
Okay, so. Great. And I know they are working themselves on a SOAR website, so should be operational before too long for more information about the whole initiative. Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you for all the work you did to organize the fantastic event yesterday, and for coming today and being on the show and sharing with us. We'll have to get you back, get more. There's plenty to talk about.
Always.
In between our bites of delicious food. And thank you, and we will definitely keep updating our audiences. So thanks to Joyce Pinson from Pike County and Valerie Horn from Letcher County, and Laura Smith, who will one day be back in Kentucky. Thanks so much, everybody. Thank you.
And now where's the money to pay off his loan? The loneliest sign to pay off his corn, to pay off his loan. Poor old Eric Farmer, he lives all alone. His wife and kids left him and took all he owned. And on the next round, they took all they found. It wasn't nailed down. Now the poor old Eric Farmer, how bad he does feel. He upset his tractor, got caught in the wheel. His head is the shape of a tread, and he still isn't dead. Round and roll it on down to the tax man in town. Now the poor old farmer ain't lost all his corn, and now where's the money to pay off his loan? The loneliest sign to pay off his corn, to pay off his loan, to pay off his corn, to pay off his loan.